Welcome into the latest edition of the Believe in Texas Rangers podcast. I am your host, Wyatt Huskins. It's great to be with you. It's great to be with you after a walk-off home run from Adolis Garcia El Bombi. We have a huge show today, and this is the only place to start. The emotion at home plate from Adolis Garcia. This was a season-defining moment for these Texas Rangers. The only place they can go from here is up. I think Kennedy Landry on Twitter, shout out to Kennedy for being one of the best beat writers that we have, said you could see the tension leave his body at home plate after he hit that shot. Four strikeouts for earlier in the day. He comes into the ninth inning. I mean, struck out three times on four-seam fastballs, one on a slider that was way out, way away from the plate. And for him to come in and still be able to have that electricity, that moment, that was Adolis Garcia. That was him. You know, like people say, I know that that's a little confusing, right? It's him. What do you mean? You know, when they say he's him, he is him. Adolis Garcia in that moment was him. This dude is pure electricity when he is on. And to walk that game off yesterday afternoon was such an electric moment. This team needed it so badly. Adolis needed it so badly. I'm going to start referencing some stats, right? Adolis Garcia, before that walk-off, shout out to Evan Grant, another one of our fantastic beat writers for the Texas Rangers, tweeted yesterday, entering the AB for his walk-off home run, Adolis Garcia had been in a 12 for 95 stretch in 22 games. That's a 126 batting average. He struck out 37 times in 22 games. Adolis had been bad. Bad, bad, bad. Is he going to immediately come back out and start hitting 330 with a 600 slug and a 450 on base? Probably not. But will this awaken El Bombi? I truly believe it will. Just looking up to the sky as soon as he hit it, he knew immediately, right? The entire stadium, the entire ballpark knew immediately that was gone. Pitch was inside too, by the way. Way to keep your hands in. I think that's one of the hardest things to do, right? When you are struggling to stay with your mechanics, to stay with the fundamentals and keep those hands in and get the barrel to an inside pitch like that. Man, just for Adolis to do that, what a huge moment. We're going to start backtracking right in this game. And why was this moment so huge? Why does this define a season? Because this game was like so many games we've had in this really, really tough stretch, right? The offense not clicking on all cylinders. We'd already scored 5 runs, and that's great. But, 4 of those runs from Mitch Garver alone, right? Guys getting on base, unable to make it home. Let's just take a peek. I haven't looked at the stat yet today or yesterday. The same one that has defined this really tough stretch, especially when it comes to the offense, right? Hitting with runners in scoring position, 1 for 13 yesterday. 1 for 13. What was the one hit, you ask? The 3-run homer in the first by Mitch Garver. More on him in a second. But still, we were able to get on base over and over and over and over again, but we could not capitalize. And this has been a huge problem. I hope that this, you know, the momentum from this game goes forward. I think it will, right? Because I said this is such a season-defining moment for this Rangers team. You could kind of see, not only I said the tension, right? Kennedy pointed out the tension leaving Adolis's body. When everybody was at home plate, when Adolis got there, the juices were flowing. Like, everybody was so into it, you could tell that this entire team needed this moment. Bruce Bochy having a blast, dude. When Adolis goes past, they shake hands, embrace. What a huge moment. But like I said, the game leading up to that point had once again been another disappointment. And, what is the solution? Hopefully it's this, right? Hopefully it's just the guys are back to being focused, because we had so many opportunities yesterday. I think yesterday, it should have been, honestly, we should have scored 10 plus runs yesterday. Like, let's be quite honest. You had Mitch Garver go 4 for 4 with two bombs. Corey Seager continues to do Corey Seager things, 2 for 5, getting on base. Jonah Heim, the day that he gets cleared to potentially swing right-handed, goes out there, goes 2 for 4. Golly, words are hard, especially when it's just you talking. I kid. Jonah Heim seems to be getting it back after the wrist injury. But this offense has yet really, really since the second half began. There have been times, right? There have been stretches. The 8-game win streak to begin August, that was a huge stretch. But there have been so many stretches since the All-Star break that we cannot hit with runners on. And hopefully that breaks today. More on the game later on today, later in the podcast. But man, you take all that. Despite all that, right? Despite going 1 for 13, despite the bullpen continuing. That's the thing, is like, not only in the stretch to me has been defined by two things, and I think it's been defined by two ways in terms of everybody sees this, right? It's the offense struggling to hit with runners on, and it's the bullpen. And you saw this once again. This just felt like another one of those games. We were like, golly, we John Gray comes out. And let's go ahead. Let's dive into this game fully. John Gray comes out and gets you some wicked Ks. This dude's fastball was on yesterday. John's fastball kind of hit or miss, right? And that's not his best pitch. That his fastball is there, and I'm not going to say to solely set up the slider, but it pretty much is, right? His wicked hard slider sits at 89. He threw it for 90 quite a few times yesterday. Is so good. He needs the fastball to set it up, though. And he had one of his best fastballs yesterday of the whole year. It was hitting 97, 98 all day long. The first four innings, John Gray looked like that elite back of the rotation guy that you need for a strong and long playoff push. The fifth inning did not go his way, right? It was a lot of. And you had seen it, right? While the fastball was really good all day, he had been a little erratic with, at times, with its placement, and you saw that come out in the fifth inning. Overall, though, John Gray, 3 runs, 8 Ks, 4 walks is where, and that's where the erraticness came in, right? I don't think, the ball wasn't hit that hard. The 3-run home run by Royce Lewis in the fifth, it's hit well enough to go out, right? He got the barrel to the ball, goes the other way into right field, barely gets it out. And, that just felt at that moment, it was like, oh, here we go again, right? It hadn't even made it to the bullpen this time. And we were already, at least in my mind, right? In my mind, we were screwed at that point. Is another one of those games. Brock Burke comes in, gets you the inning, but then he comes back out and can't do it for two. In this situation, in this game, and really and truly the last game as well, not really agreeing with some of the bullpen management, right? Leaving Brock Burke in to try to get another inning, leaving Aroldis Chapman, a very much a one inning guy, to leave him in there. And set really to set him up for, and I get it. Like, the bullpen, it's a little taxed right now. And we're in September at this point. Everybody's tired. But, decisions were made, and that's okay. I think at this point, when you have a bullpen like this, I said I don't agree with it, but I understand, right? in this situation where you have so many guys out of the bullpen struggling, you have to try different combinations. You have to try, oh, hey, might as well even Aroldis in there for try to get some more outs in the next inning. Like, just try, right? Try to get Brock Burke into that rhythm, right? We know he can get into, and try to get him to get 2 innings because we know he can, but again, it's just so hard to find the right combinations when everybody out of the bullpen is struggling like they are. Chris Stratton seems to be a guy who's stepping up right now. Is he the best reliever out of the bullpen? Probably not. But he is a veteran guy, has worked with Boch before, recognizes probably, right? I don't know him. I haven't talked to him, but I can imagine he recognizes when guys are needed to step up. And he is stepping up right now in a huge way. Jose Leclerc, unfortunately, that ERA is starting to rise as he's getting put into more and more high leverage situations. I really wanted him to be that guy who could maybe be an eighth, even potentially while Will Smith was struggling, and more on that later. He seems to be coming out of that struggle. You'd hope for him, or at least I had hope for him to be a stabilizing presence as a guy who used to be a closer, struggled, came into this year as the closer, and had seen his momentum pick back up, and he had been put into more and more high leverage situations. He seems to be a seventh or sixth inning guy. And that's okay. You need those guys coming out of the bullpen. I imagine at this point that maybe Jose and Chris Stratton switch places, Stratton being more of an eighth inning slash, maybe even like in the ninth, you need a right-handed reliever. Because I imagine Josh sticks to the sixth or the seventh, maybe even the eighth, right? Jose Leclerc, him and Jose are going to kind of switch that role as the right-handed guy that they need earlier in the pen if they are needed. I imagine they start switching that off, and Chris Stratton moves into an eighth inning role. Maybe, like I said, in the ninth. Will Smith, coming back to him, seems to be coming out of it, gets the double play to get out of the bases loaded situation and able to get to that ninth inning, to the bottom of the eighth, then to the ninth. And Cody Bradford, I always enjoyed watching him pitch since he came up. The first game, I think, was a real, and everybody knows it, right? The first game that he ever pitched in, making his MLB debut against the Atlanta Braves, the best offense in baseball, and on top of that, a offense that absolutely crushes left-handed pitching. When you have a guy like Ozzie Albies and Ronald Acuña Jr. just crushing lefties, like, that's a tough assignment for your first game. And since then, Cody Bradford has been a stable presence on this pitching staff when he's been up with the major league team. I just love how the extension he gets on his fastball. Throwing 90, guys are getting blown. Like, he's blowing by guys at 90, right? I love his stuff. The extension on the fastball, the slider that's real hard. Again, like a John Gray slider, right? Only takes like 3 miles per hour off of that pitch, compared to his fastball, 3 to 4, right? Fastball sitting at 90, 91, even 89, actually. And then the slider hovering around 87. And then you have the changeup, 80, 81. That he loves, 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 loves to throw outside and get the swing and miss. But this dude's best pitch is his fastball. And that's crazy. At least to me, when it comes to the eye test, I haven't gone in and looked at the stats, especially for a guy who has been up and down like this. I think a lot of the times it's better to look with your eyes first than it is to dive into the stats. And a guy like Cody Bradford, dude, back-to-back games. One inning pitch out of the bullpen, giving up nothing, coming in for Aroldis the game prior and locking that inning down. We lose the game, but still, that's a big time presence out of this bullpen. Cody Bradford, maybe look for him to stick with this team. I doubt it. Nathan Eovaldi is potentially going to come back, by the way, on Tuesday to get the start tomorrow against the Astros. More on that series in a bit. Like I said, it's a huge episode today. I'm not going to harp too much on these other games in the weekend series. I like to keep the vibes positive, right? Because those first two games against the Twins, man, I think everybody was down in the dumps on those, right? The offense cannot wake up in the first game. I thought maybe we could make the adjustment against Joe Ryan. If you listen to the last episode, I had faith that we would make the adjustments instead of Joe Ryan, and it seemed that Joe Ryan made the adjustments instead of us. And of course, Max Scherzer gave me what I predicted, six or seven scoreless innings. You know, comes out a little early. I don't think so. Like there, it felt like there was this weird thing of people making a big deal out of fatigue on Twitter, and it's like, dude, he threw 88 pitches, and it's Max Scherzer. This dude is old, and he's given us his all every. Like that's the thing. If you are mad about Max Scherzer kind of taking himself out for fatigue, then you are dumb. I'm sorry, you are dumb. This dude is old enough to recognize his body, to understand what he's doing on the pitching mound and when he needs to be taken out a little early. I think his average pitch total for the games this year is like 91 or 92, maybe 93 pitches. And you're mad about 88? Like, come on, man. He gave you six innings. We should have won that game with that kind of performance. And, you know, offense couldn't wake up. It's fine, though, right? After the Adolis walk-off, like something like that. And plus, by the way, first guy in the American League to 100 RBIs. Adolis Garcia is your AL RBI leader at this time. Just like Corey Seager, who is now a qualifier, is your leader in the AL in batting average by like 25 points, I want to say, 20 at least points. Like, that's insane. So that's really cool. Like I said, focusing on those times, focusing on this game yesterday instead of Friday, Saturday, because why not? Have the positive vibes going into the series against Houston. That's all I think I have for this Twin series. Except for, once again, Mitch Garver. Dude, this guy is incredibly hot. This will be the last thing I talk about before we move on. And let me backtrack that. Marcus Semien really struggling right now. Last 15 games hitting 200. I have all the faith that Marcus will come back at some point this month. I don't think it's all his fault, right? He has been getting some calls, and they're good calls, right? It's not like the umps are squeezing him or, you know, expanding the zone. But man, guys are just getting these, I don't want to say elite first pitch strikes, but Marcus, a guy who likes to see the ball come in first pitch, and guys are just throwing it right over the plate. They're clipping the zone. Like, it's not like they're down. He is getting so many quality strikes first pitch, and it really sets him back in the at bat. He likes to, like I said, he likes to see the first pitch. At least it's what it's looking like, right? Especially when the lineup overall is struggling. He knows what his role is. He knows he needs to get on base. And in that role, he likes to see the first pitch, and it's just been an unlucky situation for him. I imagine, especially once we get Josh Young back in 2 to 3 weeks, is seeming to be the timetable on a major league before he plays a game, right? Before he plays a major league game, Bruce Bochy said 2 to 3 weeks. That obviously, I think that's going to one. I think that's going to help Adolis a lot. I think that's been one thing that Adolis has been missing in this really tough stretch is a guy right behind him who is he as dangerous as Adolis Garcia? No, but Josh Young has been electric for this team, really deepens the lineup. And I know Mitch Garver has stepped up, you know, first at catcher when Jonah was out, and then as more of a DH role. Over his last 40 games, by the way, Mitch Garver, let's talk about that for a second. Mitch Garver going back. Giving Mitch Garver some love. His last 40 games, shout out to Jared Sandler. I'm pulling out all the guys on Twitter today because I love going on Twitter and looking at the stats, especially from Jared Sandler that he posts. Because he, I don't know what statistician or how he keeps track of what he does, but he has all the best stats. Last 40 games for Mitch Garver, 306, 404, 619 slugging, 619. An OPS over 1,000, 12 home runs. In those 40 games has been absolutely huge, filling in for Jonah Heim and stepping up as the DH. So when Josh Young comes back in 2 to 3 weeks, Nathan Eovaldi potentially coming back on Tuesday to start the game against the Astros. We are getting back if the momentum from last night holds, then we are on a path to an electric September. And hopefully October, once the playoffs start. Now, looking ahead to today's game, 3 o'clock first pitch, Central Time. against the Houston Astros. It's the last series of the year between these two teams. The Astros just got swept by the Yankees. I say that, but I can't talk too much trash because we have been really struggling, as all Ranger fans know. But to be swept by the Yankees and then having to come in to our house, by the way, come into Arlington and having to play a team who feels like after last night, hey, we are good. We are a competitive ball club. You get swept by the Yankees, how are you feeling? About to go into a game where you are tied with your opponent for one game back of the AL West division crown, a game back from Seattle on the mound tonight for us. Andrew Heaney, Heen Dog, has been pretty good against the Astros. More on him in a second. We have to face JP France from Houston, has started one game against us, gave up one unearned run. So the guys on offense could be in for a little bit of a struggle today. Andrew Heaney has faced Houston a few times, five scoreless early on in the season. As I scroll through his game logs, it's one thing that I forgot to do prior to this episode, trying to be a little bit more prepared. Another five-inning shutout in July. And then again, five innings, three earned in Houston. And then his fourth game against the Astros comes tonight at home. Hopefully, Heen Dog can continue his success against the Astros. And hopefully, the offense can come out and show that we are not done yet. That we are not done yet. This is a team that is competitive and ready to start their postseason run to get ready for it. We got some challenging games. I think this team, and I haven't, let me preface this by saying I haven't really looked at the rest of the team's playoffs. I should say the rest of the playoff picture. I haven't looked at their schedules coming up. However, you talk about a team that controls their own destiny, starting a series against the Astros tonight or today, this afternoon. We have a series against the Blue Jays. The team on the outside looking into the wild card race, we have them next week. We play them in Toronto. Toronto. I want to be real disrespectful. Toronto. Because, I don't like the Blue Jays. And then I've said it before, saying it again, seven out of the last 10 games against the Seattle Mariners. Your Texas Rangers control their own destiny, and it will be a fun September, I promise. Now, I think that's all I want to get into today in terms of the Major League Club. We got a few minutes to get into some minor league down on the farm action. The headline, I think, because there's a lot of news, by the way, down on the farm from yesterday. The biggest news, Wyatt Langford. Wyatt Watch with Wyatt? Langford Watch? Who knows? Well, still thinking it over. Getting promoted to Double A Frisco. After yesterday afternoon and into the evening after their game, the Hickory Crawdads win 9-0. Wyatt Langford, 2 for 5 with a double and a home run. Going up to Double A Frisco is, to me, after making this step right from college to the minor leagues, this step from High A, low A, rookie ball, whatever, wherever they go, right? It's probably from high A or low A to double A is, to me, the biggest jump after amateur to professional that they will see. Wyatt Langford, I have all the faith that this dude is going to continue his success in minor leagues. He's hitting .333 with almost an 1,100 OPS and I think 24 games with Hickory. So really looking for him to continue success in Double A. In Frisco, he'll have more of the eyes on him from the major league department, scouting department, whoever's looking at our guys. I guess it would be the scouting in-house scouting department. He'll have a lot more eyes on him as he goes to Frisco. Speaking of the Frisco Rough Riders, we'll bounce around a little bit. because there's another guy in high A that I would like to talk about, but just briefly. But back to Frisco, Jack Leiter. Second start off the developmental list. 3 1/3 innings, 7 Ks. Most, if not all, I saw a clip of all the Ks go on MLB Pipeline on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. Posting a lot of his Ks, really had the fastball working yesterday. So that is great to see. Only walked one, 3 hits, 1 earned run. I think in 2 starts since coming back off the developmental list, 6 1/3 is what I saw, right? And let me just verify if I can, because it's been great to see him really come back off of this list, off the developmental list, and really try to own what he's doing. Like, be the Jack Leiter that we know that he can be. The start before, 3 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 4 strikeouts, no walks. That is big time. Having only 1 walk in 6 1/3 for this guy in the last 2 starts, big time. Hopefully he can continue to build off of these 2 starts, really start to build himself back up, going 4 innings, 5 innings. And be the Jack Leiter that we know that he can be, that we saw out of Vanderbilt. It'll be really exciting, especially I know I saw the other day tepid participation on Twitter. I've mentioned him before. Really compare, like, after Sonny Gray had a really good start, to see him be successful, and you have another guy. This is the comparison that tepid made. 6 foot guys who throw nasty breaking balls, you know. See Sonny Gray have so much success in major leagues, and to have a guy kind of like that in your minor league system as your number 5 prospect, number 2 overall pitching prospect in the organization, really try to figure it out, hopefully, right? Hopefully from here he will just continue to get better. That's what the hope is. Another guy, our best pitching prospect, took the mound yesterday for low A, down Eastwood Ducks. Brock Porter, 4 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk. Very similar line to Jack Leiter, 4 Ks. This dude has been electric. MLB Pipeline, once again, shout out to all the shout outs. In 69, nice, in a third innings this year, 95 Ks. 95. He has a 2.47 ERA for down East. I can't imagine that he starts next year in low A. I imagine that he is with Hickory next year, and hopefully they will start stretching him out to go past the 4 inning mark. I don't know if he's reached 5 innings this year in a start. Obviously, a guy coming out of high school, you really want to spend the time. And I think that this is one thing that they regret with Jack Leiter, right? Is that they sent him immediately to double A. Not really the best environment, I don't think, for a guy's coming right out of the draft. And it's, you know, and with a guy like Brock Porter, especially coming out of high school, sending him to low A, down Eastwood Ducks, has really, really helped him start his pro career off right. And finally, Sebastian Walcutt, premiering for Hickory yesterday, number 3 prospect in the organization, 1 for 4 with a double. Kid is 17. 17 and hits ropes. So really excited to see what he can do outside of rookie ball as we get him into the more clearly defined, you know, organization, you know, places that we can really see the box score. I don't know about all the rookie teams in order to see them. What a great day. After a tough weekend, what a great day. Labor Day, get the day off. Get to watch your Rangers, 3 o'clock Central Time against the Astros at home. Keen dog on the mound. We will see what this team can do. I imagine we maybe see Martin Perez out of the pen tonight, this afternoon. Hopefully Will Smith is back, and maybe we see him in the ninth. He's been used, I believe, 2 days in a row. The bullpen may be a little light today, which is unfortunate. So maybe see some of the long guys, like I said, like Martin Perez. Could potentially, most likely, see Glenn Otto coming out of the pen. Hopefully Glenn has that sweeper slider working. That is his best pitch. And hopefully, I've touched on a little bit, learning a little bit from Will Smith. and throwing that pitch. Wow, that was tough. Throwing that pitch the majority of the time to get some outs. We will see what happens. I am excited to see where the rest of the season goes. I think this was the game. This game last night was needed for not only the team, but for the fan base to really buy back in. We're getting on 30 minutes here. We're gonna cut it short. We're gonna end it here because it wasn't short. I don't know why I said that. We're gonna end it here, right? It's been great to talk about this team once again. Make sure to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And until next time, make it a good one.